If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you again. The chat about, well, the Torah, life, and how the Parsha indicates all the important things that we really have to know. The world can be and often is a confusing place. And this is why we need the wisdom of Torah, the strength of Torah, the word of Hashem, the word of God, to guide us, to teach us, to become the light in the darkness, to create a sense of purpose and clarity among all the confusion. Torah Emet, the Torah of truth, Torah's Chaim, the Torah of life. Torah is, in fact, our foundation, our root, that which gives us centrality and purpose. We're very much in the month of Elul, continuing the theme of Elul. Elul is a time of tremendous, tremendous opportunity, a time, as we've spoken about the last few weeks, which is energized by God's 13 levels of incredible, incredible divine comfort, mercy, compassion. It's a time that's filled with extraordinary blessing. And it's a time that we are able to prepare tremendously well for the coming year. Each and every one of us know that we have to stand before God Almighty, the King of Kings, the ultimate judge. And we're going to ask for a good and sweet year, not only for ourselves, but in fact for Klal Yisrael, for all of Jewry, in fact for all of the world. We know that it's only a godly blessing that can bring whatever it is that is needed in the world today. It's a world which is filled with tremendous conflict and anger and all sorts of negative things. We ourselves, on individual basis, we need tremendous blessing. The world needs tremendous blessing. And therefore, in order for us to make sure that our blessings are heard on high and that Hashem will respond to us with his full and open and giving hand, it's necessary for us to prepare ourselves because, after all, we stand before the King of Kings. We stand before God Almighty. And of course, he will give us a good and sweet year. But nonetheless, as human beings, we have to show a sense of gratitude, which comes about as a result of the preparedness that we put in to making sure that the year that comes will be one that's filled with blessing. And this is why Hashem gives us a full month of Elul, a month that is filled with opportunity, which is filled with blessing, which is filled with those elements which are so important for us to prepare correctly and appropriately for the coming year. Today is the 10th of Elul, and the 10th of Elul is exactly 30 days before Yom Kippur. Our sages tell us something very interesting. Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, 30 days before a festival, one should actually prepare for the festival. There's something about the 30 days before an auspicious day that we have to prepare. And therefore, on the 10th of Elul, which is today, we are expected to begin the preparation for that incredibly holy day of Yom Kippur. What happens on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, we are forgiven for all the negative behavior of the past year. Hashem atones for everything that has gone wrong. It's a day which is so incredibly intense because there is a powerful and personal and intimate relationship between ourselves and Hashem. 25 hours, some people say 26 hours, of tremendous closeness between ourselves and Hashem. When the temple was standing, the single most important service of the day was the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. He would enter the Holy of Holies. It only happened once a year. No one entered the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest on Yom Kippur was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies and bring the incense offering. And that was an indication of the ultimate forgiveness for the entire Jewish people. He entered a place which was known as Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies, where the actual presence of God was felt. This is what Yom Kippur was all about. And therefore, on the 10th of Elul, our sages tell us, when we begin the preparation for that holy day of Yom Kippur, that element of Kodesh HaKodashim is already present. Yes, during the month of Elul, on the 10th of Elul, we are given a dimension of the Holy of Holies. The temple doesn't stand. We don't have a Kohen Gadol. We don't have a high priest that enters the Holy of Holies. But in a spiritual sense, each and every one of us can and does enter the Holy of Holies. Each and every one of us can and does have the opportunity of entering into a space, a place, where you connect with godliness in the fullest possible way, in the most intimate way, in the most powerful way. And that begins today, in the month of Elul, on the 10th of Elul. It's a day that is so full with this opportunity that we begin this process that comes to complete fruition on Yom Kippur. During the month of Elul, all sorts of things happen in a positive and powerful way. But on the 10th of Elul, the entry into the Holy of Holies begin. Just imagine, each and every one of us has this opportunity of going in to the most holy place on God's earth, where the presence of God is revealed in its entirety, in its fullmost way, and we have the opportunity of connecting with that. Yes, during the time that the king is in the field, we also have the opportunity of beginning the process of connecting with God in his most holy space, the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
Let's take a look at the Parsha, and let's try to understand how the Parsha gives us insight into the month of Elul, because the Parsha this week is Kitetze, and Kitetze is always read during the month of Elul. Kitetze, what does Kitetze? When you will go out into battle. What battle? It says you will go out into battle and God will deliver your enemy into your hands. Absolute. We're talking about, obviously, a physical battle. The Jewish nation, from time to time, since they entered into the Promised Land, had to go into battle many times to take possession of the land, to defend themselves against sworn enemies, again and again and again. And Hashem says, have no worries, I will protect you. Go out with strength, with fortitude. Go out with a tremendous sense of faith and trust in me. Go out over and above your enemies, and you will see that I will be with you. But make sure that you don't allow yourself to be, well, seduced by the negative elements of the enemy. Don't allow yourself to be, well, confused. Make sure that your eye is on the purpose of why you're going into battle. And that's the simple opening of this week's Parsha. But our sages tell us that it's not only a physical battle that we're talking about. We're talking about the battle of life. When you leave when you leave a protected and secure situation, you grow up, you leave your home protected by parents, by friends, and you have to engage the world. The world can be a difficult place. And engaging the world is a battle. Earning a living, developing relationships, trying to understand the physical dimensions of life. And that can be a battle. And very often, unfortunately, the world around you can overwhelm one. And there are all sorts of elements within the world that tragically try to overwhelm one. And we speak about the woman who tries to seduce you and tries to bring you down. The symbol of physical elements within the world that don't have your best interests at heart. And when you come into the world, you have to make sure that you don't allow those physical elements to cripple you, but that you are able to engage the world as you should. You can't live in an isolated, protective environment all your life. You have to engage the world, but you have to make sure that you don't allow the negative elements to overwhelm you. And this is how the commentaries speak about getting involved in the world. After all, a person comes down, a soul comes down into this world. God doesn't protect the soul within the heavenly realms. He allows the soul to descend into a physical world with all its blemishes, with all its faults, with all its seductions, with all its shortcomings. And the soul has to realize that, yes, it's a soul coming from a protected, holy place. Now it's confronting all sorts of strange and difficult experiences. But the soul battles against it, tries its best to make sure that it's able to fulfill its purpose in the world, of refining the world, of transforming the negativity into something which is positive, of taking the physical and using it correctly, of not allowing the physical to become an end in itself, but to use the physical in the way that God intended the physical to be used. Not to reject the physical, not to ignore the physical, but to use the physical in a proper way, in a holy way, in a way that indicates the world becomes a better place. But the Zohar goes a stage further. The Zohar tells us, what is this battle that we're talking about at the beginning of this parsha? This battle is prayer. As it says, the Zohar tells us, that prayer is the time of battle. What kind of battle is prayer? After all, we're told that the Hebrew term for prayer is tefillah. Prayer is actually a bad translation. And tefillah means connecting, bonding with God. So what kind of battle is tefillah, is prayer? What is the Zohar actually telling us? The Zohar is telling us that in order to bond with God, in order to take our soul and our body, our mission within this world, and to make it purposeful, and to give it true meaning, we have to go through the process of prayer. And prayer means the entire effort of self-development and refinement, which comes through proper prayer. Now, prayer is not only reciting words at a quick pace. You know, we sometimes come to shul and we can do the entire service in quick time. Yes, sometimes we do that. But the real meaning of prayer is to take ourselves on a journey of self-examination, of looking into ourselves, of understanding ourselves, of having the courage and the strength and the honesty of recognizing our shortcomings and dealing with them, of recognizing our qualities and enhancing them. The real meaning of prayer is like the ladder in the dream of Jacob, a process of elevating ourselves from the bottom up, rung after rung, higher and higher. The work of what our sages call milamata lemailo, from below upwards, of going from stage to stage, from level to level, acts of refinement, taking those elements of self that need work and objectively and honestly elevating them, refining them. And this is why we found sages, great people, Hasidim of old and Hasidim of the present time, who would pray for hours, hours looking at every aspect of their lives and going from rung to rung. And that's the battle of self. And that's the most difficult battle. Yes, there's a physical battle. Yes, there's the battle of engaging the outside world. But the battle within oneself, the honest battle, that is the real battle, tells us the Zohar. And interestingly enough, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the author of the Tanya, in his other famous work, Likutei Torah, speaks about this woman who tries to seduce you. In other words, there is an element in prayer that tries to confuse you, that doesn't allow you to deal with certain issues. And he says you have to deal with it in the following way. What does the Torah say? The Torah says you take this woman and you, well, cut off her hair and let her nails grow. Kabbalistically speaking, what is that really all about? The two things that constantly grow in a human being, their hair and their nails. The hair is called the excess intellect, the areas of the intellect that are imperfect, the areas of the intellect that have been subjected to ideas that are unhealthy, to ideas that are wrong, to ideas that are confusing. And the nails? The nails are the excess emotion, emotions that have been exposed, well, to negative emotions, emotions that confuse, emotions that bring us down, emotions that aren't developed, emotions that are wrong. Those are the excess intellect and emotion, the negative elements of the hair and the nails. And they grow. They're always there. They always make themselves present. And one has to deal with that. And that's part of the prayer process. To look at one's intellect and to ask oneself, is this true? Is this correct? Is this right? Do I truly understand this? Is this an honest analysis of who I am, of what I understand? To look at one's emotion and say, is this feeling a correct feeling? Is this emotion one that has value? Is this emotion that will bring out a deeper love and sense of fear for God and for godliness? These are incredibly powerful battles to deal with the hair and nails, the intellect and emotions that have been exposed to negative elements. And then there are the garments the garments that have to be considered as well. What are the garments of the soul? Thought, speech, and action. Do I think properly? Are my thoughts consistent with the will of God? Do I speak properly? Do I say the right words? Not only do I gossip, tell tales, am I dishonest, but what is my speech really all about? What is my action all about? This is the battle of the self that the Zohar is talking about. Kiteitse. When you go out of your comfortable self and you begin to pray properly, you start climbing that incredible ladder and you look at the hair and you look at the nails and you look at the garments, you look at all these things and you begin to deal with them. This is the process of the great battle of self. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about, the battle of prayer. And how prayer is, in many ways, the single most difficult battle of all. Because it takes the courage and the honesty of looking at oneself and beginning to understand oneself in the truest sense of the word. But as we look at the end of the parsha, we come across something which gives us deeper insight into all of this. The parsha is full with all sorts of incredible laws and interesting laws. But it ends with, remember what Amalek did to you on the way out of Egypt. They attacked you. And who's Amalek? Of course, the arch enemy of the Israelites, of the Jewish people. And this is one of the things that you have to remember. And it says, remember and don't forget. In fact, there are six things that you have to remember on a daily basis. And it's the custom of many, at the end of davening every day, we recite the six things that you have to remember. And Amalek is one of them. Because Amalek is the one who understands your weakness best of all. And he knows where to attack you. He knows how to bring you down. He knows how to find that particular point within you that is so difficult to defend. While you're in the process of climbing the ladder of prayer, while you're in the process of examining the negative hair in your life, the negative intellect in your life, the negative wisdom, the negative logic, the negative chokhmah, while you're in the process of examining the negative emotions in your life, trying to change it, a difficult task, and you take a deep breath and you go for it, and you work hard at doing just that, along comes Amalek. And Amalek is a genius, a disguise. And he appears as your very best friend. And as your very best friend, he kind of suggests that perhaps do this or that. And his motive, his intention, is to break your connection with God and to stop you from climbing that ladder. And you have to be far cleverer than him. And this is why Torah tells us, remember and don't forget. Because Amalek attacks you in your most vulnerable place, in your weakest place. And he attacks you in a way that you don't even realize you're being attacked. The parasha begins, Ki Zeite, when you go out into battle, God will deliver them into your hands. And for that you need courage and strength and faith and trust. But Amalek knows your weak points. And for that you have to have your eyes wide open. And as a people throughout history, we've made so many mistakes because we allowed Amalek to come into our camps, to come into our lives, to come into our personal battles, and we allowed them to confuse us, and we allowed them to attack us, and we allowed him to, well, break our stride in going forward and growing and connecting with God. And the greatest tragedy is that as a result of that, we've lost so many, many more than the physical battles that we had to endure throughout the ages. And this is why the Parsha begins with the victory of battle, and it ends with reminding us not to forget, to keep our eyes wide open to who the real enemy is. The real enemy is the one who comes along dressed in finery that we think is wonderful, but dangerous. And this is why the temptress, we have to look at the hair, we have to look at the nails, we have to examine the intellect and the emotion, which might sound and look wonderful, but it's not. It's dangerous. The hair, the intellect, the negative intellect, the negative emotion might look terrific, might sound terrific, but it's dangerous. It comes from the Amalek source and the intention and motive of Amalek is to make us lose that battle while we're winning. But this is the month of Elul, and God's 13 levels of compassion and mercy are prevalent in the most powerful way. And this is why it's so much easier during this time of the year to win that battle. And particularly, as I mentioned earlier on today, the 10th of Elul, which is exactly 30 days from Yom Kippur, and 30 days before the great event, we begin the intense preparation, which means that it's already begun. We can enter the Holy of Holies in the spiritual sense, similar to the Kohen Gadol, to the high priest, entering the Kohen, the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom Kippur. So when you're in shul tomorrow, do yourself a favor. Listen carefully to this parasha. You will be amazed at the wide range of mitzvot that is contained in this parasha. Tremendous, interesting laws, one after the other. Incredible laws. But as I always say, listen carefully. Because somewhere in the parasha, it's going to talk to you personally in a very intimate sort of way. And when it does, it will resonate. You're going to hear something that speaks to you. It speaks to your personal battle. It speaks to your personal growth as you climb that incredible ladder, as we all could and should and do. Take the opportunity. Take advantage of the time. Take advantage of the growth. Take advantage of the tremendous gift that we've been given. It's the month of Elul. Listen. Listen carefully with both ears. Recognize real intellect as opposed to false intellect. Recognize real emotion as opposed to false emotion. Recognize true garments as opposed to cheap and nasty garments. Recognize who your friends are and those who just appear to be friends on the most external level. This is the month of Elul, the month of opportunity, the month that we can grow. Good Shabbos.